Scott Spencer's 1979 novel Endless Love was both a bestseller and a critical success. Franco Zeffirelli's film adaptation couldn't give you a sense of Spencer's dizzying writing about an obsessive teenage romance. Although Spencer isn't responsible for that screenplay, he's written several others and is working with Paul Schrader on a remake of Laura. Readers often wonder how autobiographical Spencer's novels are, but his new novel, Secret Anniversaries, is about things that he couldn't possibly have experienced firsthand. It's set a few years before he was born, when America was divided about entering World War II. It's about a woman who falls in love with another woman, an aide to a congressman suspected of collaborating with the Nazis. This is the first time the two women touch.
Betty moved closer, waited. She seemed to be testing to see if Caitlin would move away. They both understood the first gestures would all have within them an element of the accidental, that they would have to be able to say, "Oh, sorry," or "Excuse me," at any point, and then withdraw, and that the fiction that they were only friends could then be preserved.
I like that paragraph a lot, because I think this is something everybody has experienced, you know, the sense of... I like the way you wrote it.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I experienced that the first time as I was out at a movie with a girl, the way you pretend like it's actually comfortable for your arm and shoulder to fling it around the seat that, oh, my goodness, you happen to be sitting in that seat, too. And it gives her the right, if she wants to move rather closer to your hand and maybe brush your hair against it. And that way you both have the protection of a manufactured accident.
You know, in most of your novels, there are these really wild, very passionate, very self-conscious love scenes. And I think I'm really interested in the self-consciousness and in sometimes the clumsiness.
Mm.
I think more than most writers I've read, you have a sense of the clumsiness that's so often involved in lovemaking.
Yes, well, I think if it really is lovemaking and not just some sort of display of sexual proficiency, it's necessarily clumsy because it's a meeting of souls, and it's a revealing of parts of character and personality and longing that remain otherwise hidden.
Is this your first novel that you've written in the third person?
Yes, it is.
Instead of first person?
It is.
You had tried to write in third person before, though, hadn't you?
It's true. It's always been something that I think I've tried to write all of my books in the third person. And I don't know why. Now that I've done it, I don't know what the big deal is.
Well, what is the big deal? What are some of the different things that you have to do in terms of finding the voice and in terms of moving characters in and out of rooms? Is it different in third person than it is in first person?
Moving characters in and out of rooms is not any more difficult. In fact, it's probably rather more easy in the third person since... you don't have to leave with them the way you do in the first person.
right, that's a good point.
finding a voice, I think, is trickier, maybe because it's hard to be living in 1990 and believe in omniscience of any sort. And so, you know, as you know, I do have a kind of secret narrator in this book that it's not an omniscient narrator. It is finally one of the characters who steps forward and lets us know that it's been he telling the story all along. And that was important for me because the kind of all-knowing and finally bland, authorial third person is uninteresting to me and doesn't really go along with what I'm interested in stylistically.
The first-person voices that you've used in some of your earlier novels have been very passionate, obsessive voices, and there's a sense of confession in the way the story unfolds. Is that something that you can't have in third person, that obsessive confessional quality?
Well, that's true. It would be difficult to have that in a third person, and it's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to write in the third person, because after having an obsessional confessional voice for a couple of novels running, I was sort of obsessed and confessed out.
Oh, uh-huh.
And was interested in enlarging my scope.
In some ways, are you trying to work within a certain genre form in the new novel?
Well, I'm interested and always have been interested in using the ingredients of so-called popular fiction. Unbridled passion, ghostly visitations, and this one, World War II, and politics, and seeing them through the more scrupulous lens of art. I've been dismayed for as long as I can remember that so many of the good stories seem to have been abandoned to people who aren't necessarily good storytellers, whereas the most talented writers seem to be off writing a great deal about things that don't matter a great deal. Things that are more matters of sensibility than of any pressing concern.
I have to ask you, most of the characters' names in your book are names that I think of as only being names that characters in certain kinds of novels have. Fulton Fleming, Caitlin Van Fleet, Sumner Wells, Elias Stowe.
Well, Sumner Wells is a real person.
Okay. We'll eliminate that one.
Well, let's eliminate that one.
That leaves us with Fulton Fleming.
That leaves us with a Fleming and a Van Fleet and a Stowe. And what would those certain novels be? You mean more pulpy pop novels?
Yeah, I guess pop historicals.
Well, you know, I don't really know.
Do you read them?
No, because I read too slowly to read bad books. It's a big investment for me to read a book. And I think that I write assuming the same about my reader, that I'm asking him or her to spend quite a bit of time with me, because I can't read a book in a night or even in three nights. It takes me quite a while to get through a book. So I've never been able to sort of knock off those historical romance books the way I suppose they were written to be knocked off.
Do you ever go back and reread your older books?
I but not sequentially.
You mean you don't read the books in order, or you don't read within the book?
I don't read within the book sequentially. I sort of jump around. And
what sends you back to one of your books?
Seeing them on the shelf. Being at someone's house who has one. Wondering if you know, how I did something before. Nostalgia, narcissism. A wish to hear my voice, because I'm getting a little lost.
You mean in the new novel?
Right.
So when you feel like you're getting lost, it's easier to find your place if you read something that had a really sure voice.
A sure voice that reminded me that with enough work I can actually get this done. Because, you know, there's always these moments of terrible loss of confidence in the middle of a book. You're all alone in a strange place, and you have no idea where you're going half the time.
What are the other ways of dealing with it?
Aside from drinking, you mean?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I don't know how to deal with it, Terry. You just have to keep some stillness within you that allows you to continue.
Do you become manic depressive when a book is out based on whether you get a good review or a bad review from critics who you respect? Do you detach yourself from that altogether?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as manic depressive, but you know, it's hard not to react in some way, especially if you think you're being read in a foolish way. And it's hard not to feel that sometimes.
Not to feel that you're being read in a foolish way?
Right. I mean, it's sometimes a review is so beside the point and so misses what you're doing that you feel that you'd that yet another impediment has been put between you and the reader, and you wish that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. In your last two novels, there have been people who've lost someone they love through an act of basically political terrorism. And if this is too personal, you don't have to answer it, but Do you feel very close to that kind of experience, forgetting the political terrorism a second, but, you know, having lost someone you love?
I don't know why this is such a theme in my work, and it's been, in a way, in all of my books, because I'm very... Both my parents are still alive. I had no brothers and sisters to lose. Even my aunts and uncles are, for the most part, still with me. My kids are home and healthy. My wife's alive, and she's in good health. But yet this question of personal loss, of some inner devastation, pulls me toward it time and again. And I don't really know why. I know that I can't get away from it.
Is it, I feel like I'm such a cheap analyst here, but is it maybe the fear of losing somebody?
It could be the fear of something like that. Or it could be, I don't know. Of course, you know, if my next book, everybody's alive and happy and well, you'll know that I finally got that analysis we've been talking about.
Well, Scott Spencer, I thank you very much for talking with us.
It was good talking to you, Terry.
Scott Spencer's new novel, Secret Anniversaries, is published by Knopf. This is Fresh Air.